You're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. This is text number 37. This is the 12th of the prayers, and the final one that deals with the formation of transcendental knowledge. So text 37, translation. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Report by Srila Prabhupada. How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, iha yasya hader dasye, by his activities, his mind, and his words, karmana, manasa gira, may stay in any condition of life, nikalasu api avastasu, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchate. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana pura sarve na kutaschana bibhyati. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mamma janmani janmani ishvare bhavatar bhakti rahaituki twayi. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Shishastaka 4. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharata made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop, although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost, whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita 9:14 therefore recommends that one always engage at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Satatam Kirtayantomam Yatantascha Diddhvrtaha Namasyantaschamam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly acharyas, and the Vedic literature. Sadhu shastra guru vakya chitete koriya aikya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Vaishnava mukod girdnam putam hodikatam tam. Sarvanam naiva karatavya sarapochistam yata payaha. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from Mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends Sri Guru Padasarayaha. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Jare Deka Tarekaha Krishna Upadesh. It's in Majjalila 7:128. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions, as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnava sadhu, guru and shastra. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he also may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas tvacharanaravindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Shinvanginam sam smarayam chintayam namami namani rupani cha mangalani te kriyasu yat tat charanaravindayor avishta chita nabhavaya kalpate. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear chant, contemplate and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it says here, nabhavaya kalpate, they are not fit for material existence. So this is describing the transcendental platform. And this transcendental platform is characterized according to the activities that one performs. So here we have Prabhupada again discussing this verse of from Rupa Goswami, which describes one who is jivan mukta. So the word jiva is usually used for a soul who is in this material world. Jivatma, a living entity in the material world. It's not just atma, but called jivatma. So, jivan mukta, so that even though within the material world, he is considered, so uchite means said to be or considered liberated, even though within the material world. So that is a person who has iha means here. Here, when it says here, means this place. That one of whom Hare Dashe, who has become a servant of Krishna. And then says karmana, manasa, and gira. So here this verse, these are elaborated on. karmana, by his activities, manasa, by his mind, gira, by words. So these three things. This verse says, kriyasu, by means of all activities, and then by his mind, samsmarayan. Well, when the shrinva and grina, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, so that's words, at least words are coming in by hearing, grinan, by chanting, and then in the middle the mind is there, trapped between the ear and the voice is the mind, with a little effort anyway, and then samsmarayan, remembering, and chintayan, contemplating, what? Namani rupani, his names and form which are mangalani, which are mangala. Mangala means auspicious for everybody. So that's the definition. Nikalasu api avasta, no matter what condition of life is situated in, that person is jivan mukta sa uchate. So if we want to know what it is to be liberated, what is a liberated soul? There it is. Always engaged in Krishna's service by deed and by thought and by words. So that person may be situated in a material body, but is jivan mukta. So this devotional service, then he goes on to say, even if a person takes birth again for some reason or another, still jivan mukta, because actually has nothing to do with the body, either by Krishna's desire, or he says here, talking about Bharata, because of some slight negligence, there was a chastisement given. Still, he didn't forget Krishna. So this is the way. The Prabhupada says, one should not give up the process of devotional service. And he says the most important process is hearing. Well, of course, it has to begin with hearing, because if you don't hear, then what would you chant? And what would you think about? And what would you contemplate? So therefore, it always begins with hearing. And Prabhupada wants to emphasize here this hearing from a proper source. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. And he quotes here from Padma Purana. This is an interesting verse. Vaishnava mukod girnam. We should not... It's described, the putam harikatamritam means the... Puta means pure. So the harikatamrita, the nectar of the harikata, is always pure, but we should not hear it coming from the mouth of a Vaishnava. One who is not a Vaishnava is called a Vaishnava. Mukod girnam, emanating from the mouth of a Vaishnava, the pure harikata should not be heard, because, well, he says, shravanam, hearing, shravanam naiva kartavyam. That hearing should never be done, naiva, should not ever be engaged in. And then the example, sarapochistam yata payaha, because it is like milk. Which has sarapa uchistam, which are the remnants of a snake. Uchistam is just like prasadam, remnants. So there's snake remnants. It's snake remnants. So if a snake apparently has tasted milk, then that milk will have be like poison. It's like a, so it's become contaminated. and that, so it shouldn't be taken. Now, therefore, never hear from Mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, and so-called scholars. Well, unfortunately, these are the big purveyors of Harikatamrita in this day and age. Most people that you have met who have heard about Krishna will have heard from Mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians. What does he mean by politician? Well, Mahatma Gandhi, example of a politician who has engaged in Harikatamrita, or another famous politician is Dr. Radhakrishnan, who was some big position with the Indian government and did a translation of Bhagavad Gita with commentary and so on. These are politicians. Prabhupada says about Gandhi, although he is known to be a saintly person and is given the title Mahatma, Prabhupada said about Gandhi, I think quoting the Manchester Guardian actually, an English newspaper, that among politicians he was a saint, but among saints he was a politician. So politicians, or so-called scholars, that is, people who so-called means according to their own standards, they're scholars. He mentions, what does he say here? Who speaks nonsense as an academic career. Should not be heard. So one wonders, why is this, how is it possible? Here it's admitted, putam harikatamrita, it's pure. And I've actually heard devotees say like this, well, if it's good that people are hearing any little, you know, good that they're getting something, they're hearing the name of Krishna, so that's okay, even if it's a little compromised. Still, it's the name of Krishna. But here, it said it should not be, so you can wonder, how is it? It says here, it has a poisonous effect. It's harmful that if one hears about Krishna in this way. So you'd say, well, it's Krishna Katha, and it's so potent and everything else, and it's, eternally liberated. Namach Dhamani Krishna Nitya Mukto, you know, it's eternally liberated. How, if it's eternally liberated, if it comes out of the mouth of a Vaishnava, can it have a poisonous effect? Well, that becomes, it's not the holy name that kills you, it's the packaging. It comes wrapped by them in its own special packaging. And because of that packaging, it harms you. And the packaging is such that gives you not really the holy name, but what you get is kind of distorted, not even a reflection, but an imitation holy name. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta says, Swati Thakur says, sometimes a holy name can just be letters of the alphabet. So there's the real holy name, which is actually delivered to the bona fide sampradaya. And also it said that if you do not receive your mantra through the bona fide sampradaya, then it's shall you say, it's useless. Well, it has no use. So it's not good that people are encouraged because it's useless. Because they may hear, like Harikatamrita, they may hear the holy name, or they may hear some activities about Krishna. But immediately, it comes in such a distorted way that they misconceive everything about Krishna, that they have the initial impression of Krishna is that he's an ordinary person, or that his activities are material, or that he is an historical being. And so immediately the offenses are there to such a huge degree that it harms you. It's actually, so it should never be hurt, he says. It should never be hurt. It has to at least come through the devotees. I know that Srila Prabhupada, sometimes when he had Allen Ginsberg with him, would ask Allen Ginsberg to chant. And I wondered about that, because certainly Ginsberg was a Mayavadi, a voidist, and so many things. But Prabhupada would ask him to chant. But because Prabhupada was there and he chanted at the request of Srila Prabhupada, and he had heard from Srila Prabhupada, so... But other times you hear the mantra from other people who haven't properly heard. I remember once we had there was a yogi who set up shop not far from our temple, and we discovered that a whole contingent, he had a Sunday program also, but it happened. It was, he scheduled it to be directly after our Sunday program. And we discovered that a whole contingent of people who were coming to the Sunday feast were immediately going over to Yogi's place and participating in his ceremony. Now, he started out as an ordinary yoga teacher. He was a college student who was teaching yoga on the side. And he would bring his yoga students sometimes to the temple, and they started to say to him, "Oh, why don't you give us names like the Hare Krishnas? Why can't we chant like the Hare Krishna?" Because he was just teaching, you know, Hatha Yoga or something. So in this way he began to develop a program, because they were asking him to give them names, because they didn't like this all business of the four regular principles, a little too much to handle, and so on, all this talk of surrender. But from him they could get the name and chanting and so on. So they said to him, "Why don't you do like that?" Actually, this so he became a big yogi eventually, very big yogi. Later, actually, after he became very big, he met with Prabhupada in Bombay. And there's a tape, you can hear the tape. And he's very respectful to Prabhupada. And he said to him, "You made it all possible for all of us." So I remembered exactly how, because he started in this area, and how he did everything. He just give us names like this. So anyway, we were discovering that our people who were coming in, group of people coming to our Sunday feast, would then immediately go to his place. And he was, he's a Mayavadi. I mean, just a real dyed-in-the-wool Mayavadi. Although he used to say to people, "Yes, you were a bhakta," and actually he even had Prabhupada's books for them to read, but then he would explain to them that actually Prabhupada is teaching very nicely from the position of a bhakta, but actually there's a higher position, and so on. But meanwhile, you're a bhakta, so you should get in this ISKCON mood. Later you can transcend it. So this is how they heard, even they read Prabhupada's books through his packaging. Anyway, we went over to one, so we became very irritated. I mean, this was 1970. Or something like that. We became very irritated that all these people would go and we'd preach against Mayavad philosophy, and you know, and then they would just blithely go over to Amrit's place, you know, and then engage in all this stuff. So we became really upset. So myself and a couple of devotees decided we would go too. So after the Sunday feast, we piled in the car. And at that time, he had a headquarters right over there not far from here, just by Lincoln, down Lincoln Drive a ways. And so Wayne Avenue and Lincoln Drive. So he went down there and had this big, huge, so he walked in the room. And there was this huge big room and it was dark, all the lights were off except for up at the top was one end was like a little stage, and he had two big huge candles on candle stands next to him. That was the only light, and behind him was this picture of his guru, and he was sitting on the stage with a harmonium, and he was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra backwards. You know, they start with Hare Ram. I mean by backwards. And everybody else was sitting, and it was like, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Krishna. Like that, sort of. And we actually brought some mudangas and kartal with us. So this devotee I was with, and we picked up the beat a bit, you know. And so, you know, Amri looked up and he smiled, and he was not a, anyway, he was a gentleman. And he, and gradually everybody, you know, stood up and they started dancing, and we had our kirtan, you know, like we supposed to have. So we finally quit, and everybody sat back down. And he starts his drone on the harmonium again. And he says, "Peace, be still. Let the chanting continue within." And there's a drone for a few more minutes, and he goes, "Om Shivaya Namaha." So we left, you know, at that point. So then later they said, some of his people said, "Oh, he liked, Amrit liked it so much that you came." He said, "That's the way you should actually chant." I could never understand. But anyway, when we heard that, point of the story is we came in and we heard him chanting this mantra, it felt very spooky to us. You know, it felt like it was not the Hare Krishna mantra, really. It felt different. You know, and I think that we could have sat and chanted like that for a long time and never gotten anywhere at all, you know. And I thought of, anyway, the first thing I thought of, I mean, Sarapochista, you know, a Vaishnava, but that's what it was. It was definitely a different thing. It wasn't the Hare Krishna mantra. And anyway, that's how it can happen. We don't hear properly. We hear from the wrong sources, those people. So somehow or other, that even though some of his students were really reading Srila Prabhupada's books, he had managed to inoculate them against the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra. I guess that's the way to put it. They had been inoculated against the potency. So somehow or other, you get the Hare Krishna mantra, you get Krishna Katha from these people, even there is Prabhupada's books. I don't, you know, I really did. He had Prabhupada's books. He showed me in his library, you know. And he went, and he was very nice to Prabhupada. Oh, he said, "You have made it all possible. You're a wonderful, great devotee." He said all these things. Although it's an interesting conversation. Prabhupada talked to him almost completely about the dangers of illicit sex. But they're inoculated so that it does not have, not only does it not have its required effect, but it actually has a poisonous effect. So he says, inauspicious association. So when we, the point of Prabhupada's it says that one should act in these ways, to hear, chant, contemplate, and then he says, cause others to remember. So they're causing others to remember Krishna, because we should understand that people are getting improper deliverance of Krishna from so many sources. That people have heard about Krishna, that they've read Bhagavad Gita in college, they've heard from different jugglers, magicians, and so-called people who speak nonsense as an academic career. All that's been going on for a very, very long time, and it continues to go on. And actually, the more, in many ways, the more people become interested in Hinduism and Eastern religion and reincarnation and so on, the more the Sarpa Uchishtam, the remnants of the serpents, are distributed. So we have to try to find ways to keep pace with this, and that's why the distribution of Prabhupada books is so very important. Because that's the only place that people can hear from the authorized sources. Still, it's that way. Still, even after so many years of New Age movement and Hinduism and Hindu temples all over and all these other things, practically, again, still the only source of these things of actually bona fide Krishna consciousness is coming from Prabhupada and Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's movement. Where else? So we have to act in such a way as to cause other people to come to the right source for receiving these ways. Otherwise, they're inoculated against Krishna consciousness. And once they've received that inoculation against Krishna consciousness, it's easier to start with somebody afresh, almost, rather than somebody who has heard improperly. So I'm a little dubious of sometimes the devotees who think it's a good thing that, well, at least, you know, they're hearing something about Krishna, or at least they're becoming favorable and so on like that. I wonder about that favorable. I can see how you would think in some ways favorable, but I can also see how they've been inoculated, you know. So, anyway, our idea is to spread Krishna consciousness, and so Prabhupada especially emphasizes here our activities should be concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. That's what they get this from. Prabhupada said books are the basis, because without these books, because the books is not only, it's three things are there in Prabhupada's books: Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. All these are there, they're all there. All three, the whole tradition is conveyed to us in the books of Srila Prabhupada. And here they can actually understand properly this Krishna Katha without Prabhupada's purports. It'll get lost to them. So, but not just to purchase a book, and that's the first step. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature. I've purchased innumerable books that I've just stuck on a shelf, promising myself someday I'll read, or even with the illusion that having owned the book, somehow you automatically acquire the knowledge that's there without having cracked the cover, you know. But we have to induce people also to read. That has to be part and parcel of the distribution of this literature. So there maybe on that part we've been somewhat negligent, maybe very good at getting people to take a book, but not so good at inducing them to read it. Although Prabhupada also said that anything they read, even one line or one paragraph, is eternally good for them. but better, they actually absorb more, so that in the future he may become a devotee. We have to make all kinds of plans. Actually, the way activity should be concentrated on book distribution is, first of all, we have to ourselves be absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. And then by preaching and book distribution, we induce other people to come and become similarly absorbed in the association of devotees. That's what actually should happen. It's because Prabhupada complained on a number of occasions to his American disciples, "You think my books are just for distributing?" Because people were distributing and not so much engaged in reading. So that in the future they may become devotees, but if they want to become devotees, where will they go if there are no devotees? So Nectar of Instruction describes that actually the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of making a group of people engaged in the exchanges of Krishna consciousness and always inviting people to join in. So people who take our books should find the life of devotional service attractive. They should find the devotees attractive and interesting people. One should actually be enthusiastic about this book. This is a one. Because people usually buy things because the purveyor is enthusiastic about his product. And a lot of times, a great deal of time is spent in business to try to get the salespersons enthusiastic. There's some little hepped up guy come and tell you, you know, that this water filter is going to change the whole world, or this vacuum cleaner is the acme of success. And if they can somehow or other get their salespeople to be genuinely fired up about the product, that's the best thing. Second best thing if they're really good actors. But somehow or other the salespeople have to be, the sales force have to be enthusiastic. And when there's real enthusiasm, then things spread like wildfire by word of mouth. Everybody knows word of mouth goes in. People always try to figure out why some movies become popular. You know, the pitchmen have worked out all the different advertisement campaigns and everything through the media, and still people don't go. And some other picture show, which nobody spent any money on, becomes very, very popular. And the answer is always, it's word of mouth. They spent a fortune advertising this movie, but everybody says, "Oh God, I saw that movie, don't go. Don't waste your money." And that's it. Kills it, you know. And somebody else said, "I saw that film, I loved it. I had a great time." And he was enthusiastic. And he said, "Okay, I'll go." This is how. So it is that personal enthusiasm and the personal testimonials. "I read this book, it was so great, it changed my life. You'll never read anything like it." Then people are like, okay. Immediately. That's how drugs spread too, you know. Wow. it's the wow that sells everything. So if that wow is sincere and serious, and you know, that's what does it. So that's our business, is to get that wow and to communicate it to people. And then our distribution goes on. And that way people will come. People will want to hear from us. You know, when people are going, there's no wow. So we can do better than that. But if we're also going, you know, you can't expect people to get fired up. Anyway, any questions? Yes? Comment?
You know, lives of people who begin to take up devotion to Krishna, if when it occurs that we see those times, their sight is taken away, or somehow some serious obstacles arise.
Yeah, what is taken away?
Like their sight.
Oh, sight, yeah, vision. Huh?
Some different obstacles that come their way in the program. Is that a slight chastisement to the Lord? Impediments and obstacles?
Depends upon the condition of the person. A slight chastisement by the Lord does not cause anyone to give up devotional service. If someone gives up devotional service, that's not how Krishna chastises.
I mean, they continue the devotion,
but then that's what it is, sure.
You
should understand that, sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's not Krishna's chastisement.
Well, because faith is a gift, I mean, it's taken away?
No, it's not taken away. The Krishna's gift is always there. But the problem is that I myself don't take it. And instead, I take some other thing. Which is not Krishna consciousness, but which I claim it is, then that's my fault. So he doesn't take it away.
That's in the case of someone who, through ignorance, just providentially really offends their guru or advanced devotees. Isn't their case withdrawn? Or they just find themselves.
Yeah, sometimes. That's the process of it. But do you think that Krishna caused this?